Hi, this is Len Testa. We're back for another episode of the Unofficial Guide Disney Dish with Jim Hill. Today we're at the Magic Kingdom Resorts. We're going to be doing a walkthrough of the all the resorts that are on the Magic Kingdom monorail. So we're starting off at Bay Lake Tower. Jim, it is a wonderful sunny morning. Congratulations on being out of jail for at least 3 days now. That's good.
We love keeping the record going.
The orange jumpsuit looks smashing on you, by the way. I didn't picture you as an autumn, but yeah, you're definitely an autumn.
Well, you know, and it's a 6X this time.
it's really nice.
He's walking me around. It's slowly but surely.
The cuffs are a nice touch. It's like bling. Tupac would be proud.
Don't walk so quite so fast this time, okay?
Shackles are all the rage these days. So we're over at Bay Lake Tower. We're looking at Disney's newest vacation club. That is until they get there's Alani, which they can't yet sell, right? Speaking of legal problems,
but just a little problem with the fee. But
paperwork? What? I thought you filed the paperwork. So we're at Bay Lake Tower. It's actually shining. You stayed here, right?
I did that. In fact, I was with you here when you did the room.
That's
inspection.
Right. I did the room inspection that day it was opened. Yeah. It's actually a lovely resort. It's one of the most quiet set of rooms in Walt Disney World. In fact, it is the quietest set of rooms in Walt Disney World we've ever tested. It's almost like sensory deprivation.
And, you know, the irony here is that we're on the Bay Lake side. So this literally, in a way, is sensory deprivation. You're looking out on this amazing view of, you know, basically traditional Florida. In fact, out on Raz Island, the thing that Walt, in fact, that's what closed the deal for. That's what we were going to build in Orlando.
Yeah, so we're actually facing the back of the of Bay Lake Tower right now. So you guys recall it's a C-shaped structure. We're actually looking into the open end of the sea, and then we've got Bay Lake behind us. It's actually a beautiful day. There's not a cloud in the sky. It's sunny. It's about 72 degrees. Got people out there parasailing. Got some boating going on. But Jim, how was the resort done for Disney?
Well, the interesting thing about Bay Lake Towers is, this is actually why Disney is heavily in the social media. In fact, the Disney Parks blog exists because of this hotel.
The Disney Park blogs is
absolutely. I actually got this from the head of communications at Walt Disney Imagineering. Basically, if you remember when they were building this and the whole what hotel?
Hotel? What hotel? What?
And it's
a giant satellite dish.
It got so embarrassing for the company because it was like all these websites were taking pictures of the non-steel rising up out of the non-ground.
Oh, right. And then don't forget there was that thing with the architects who designed it publishing the Disney's Bay Lake Tower plans and then taking it down the next day like it was the Pentagon Papers or something.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And finally, it was just one of these things where it's like, look, all these websites are, you know, they're eating our lunch. All right, we're a company of storytellers. Why is it that we're not telling our own stories?
Why are we at least not controlling the story?
No, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this is it was on the back of that, you know, that construction that Disney got as aggressive into, at least the Disney Parks blog, and then sort of jumped in with both feet to social media. So
that's right. It was about the time that the social media division was formed. The Moms Panel idea, which came up.
Yep.
It kind of piggybacked on that. So the resort here, is it doing well?
It's doing reasonably well. I mean, you know, you can't go wrong with a monorail hotel, which is why, coincidentally, we're now seeing, you know, the work begin on the DVC for the Grand Flow.
Wait, there's a Grand Floridian DVC, Jim?
Oh, wait a minute.
What? I thought they're just making the spa 60 times larger.
I thought, la 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 la! I didn't say that.
It's funny because we've actually asked. You guys that are familiar with things going on over at the Grand Floridian, when Disney came out with the announcement that they're going to stop the monorail from running an hour after park close for the Magic Kingdom, mm-hmm. we wrote into to the media relations and said, well, is this just so you guys could do construction at night around the monorail pylons, you know, with it, you know, and get more work in, or, you know, is there something, is this a permanent thing? They wrote back and said, we don't know anything about construction at the Grand Floridian. I'm like, do you need a picture of the bulldozers? Would that refresh your memory? I could go get those in like 20 minutes. I mean, or if you guys drive by to work. So what about restaurants here at the Bay Lake Tower? Are there any plans to expand the restaurants or anything? Because that's if there's two things I don't like about Bay Lake Tower. One is lack of on-site dining, right? So no room service or anything like that. But then the other thing is there's a slight walk to the bus stop. I could live with a walk to the bus stop. What about dining?
Well, to be honest, what they're looking at is, you know, it's just one of these things where you have pre-existing facilities at the Contemporary, and more to the point, such a short walk to the Kingdom. You know, I mean, there is method to the madness here. It's just the whole
thing. Yeah, we could bring you food in 30 minutes, or you could walk to the Magic Kingdom in 10.
No, that's it exactly. And it just, it's sort of the, you know, I mean, it's not necessarily bad guest service. It's just sort of restricted guest service.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it is no coincidence we're now standing under the walkway, which leads straight into the
that's
Contemporary.
Right. So it's an interesting walkway. The thing I like about the walkway is it's not straight. It's curved. But and the curve is interesting, too, because the building itself is curved. The Contemporary, I don't think there's a single curve in the entire damn thing. It's nothing but straight lines and angles.
Well, that's the... And again...
I love the Contemporary, by the way.
I'm fond of it myself, but again, you know, from the very day they named it... In fact, what was interesting is that, you know, it was for the longest time it was actually called Tempo Bay... And, you know, because, again, it was literally, they're putting it together. It's like, okay, what's the temporary metal model or name for this thing? And it's like, temporary. You know,
Bay.
And from there, it was one of these things that stuck. And then it was like, oh, wait a minute, it's Contemporary. Now, what's weird, if you actually saw the original model for the park, not only was this done in sleek modern style, the Polynesian was actually done in sleek modern style. It looked like it was something on 1960s Waikiki. I mean, just, you know, yeah, sleek and stacked. And, you know, don't do that joke, Len.
sleek and stacked.
There we go.
There's a Charo joke in there somewhere.
You know, but again, that was because it was Walter Beckett. That's because it was U.S. Steel. I mean, you have to remember, Disney wasn't running hotels at that point. In fact,
that's right.
Just up until 8 months before the opening of the park, Disney wasn't going to even run these hotels. They were going to run the theme park. They didn't have any resort experience. So U.S. Steel built them and was going to run them.
U.S. Steel was going to run the resorts.
Yes.
Had U.S. Steel run resorts prior to that?
Not really, no. In fact, the fact that they were the ones going, oh, by the way, the hotels are supposed to open for October 1st. We're thinking April of the following year. And that was when Disney was... You know, this was unacceptable. They actually, you know, they met with them, they flew back, they called and said, how much to buy you out?
Really?
And, you know, they gave...
How far in advance of the opening was this?
This is 8 months. This is literally... Oh, wow. And in fact, you know, I what kind of, you know, sealed the deal is Roy Disney made a very famous walkthrough, you know, while they're building the thing. Mm-hmm. And it's 2:00 in the afternoon, and it's Florida, so it's brutally hot, and he's walking through this building of guys just sort of... laying down and sitting because it's too hot to work. And it was like, what? You know, we open when? And, you know, they went home.
They're taking a siesta.
Yeah. And it was just like, this is nuts. You know, we have That's to. Crazy. This is our, you know, on our property. This is our hotel.
Our name, yeah.
We have to take control of the situation. And, but it was, that's part of the reason that Walt Disney World went from originally budgeted for $100 million to, by opening, $400 million. Mm. And, you know, just... an interesting time in the company's history, you know, that this really had to hit or they were in trouble.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah, seriously.
So
let's walk, let's take the walk from the Bay Lake Tower over to the Contemporary. What's going on at the Contemporary these days? I know they recently, in the last few years, did the room refurbishment. They've gone through a whole new set of restaurants, right? So they've got the Wave, which I just had breakfast at. It's fabulous for breakfast, by the way. Don't need reservations for breakfast or lunch. You can just walk in. The Contempo Cafe is new with the ordering thing. But Chef Mickey's is relatively the same, right? Because you don't fool with a character meal.
Well, and more to the point, that's part of the problem with this hotel is that it's all steel, it's all concrete, and it's one of these things where it's like, okay, here's this giant space that, you know, people have eaten in for years, and they, you know, they like, you know, the monorail goes by, people look out the window and are like, ooh, what is that? I want to go there.
It's a good selling point, actually. I've told the story on the podcast before, but... you know, as a kid, mm-hmm. coming in on the Express Monorail, going through the Contemporary, it was, you know, it was a dream of mine to stay at the Contemporary, you know, and now I can do it any day I want, but mm-hmm. but you know, my literally going through it, my first question was, what kind of a person do you have to be to stay at the Contemporary? It was captivating. It was, you know, it was something that, you know, when I get older, dude, and when I have some money, I'm staying there.
No, absolutely, that was, and in fact, from, you know, you think about it, you know, from, you know, the wonderful world of Disney, the shot of the monorail going into the hotel. Yeah. You know, how they changed out the opening of that show in 71, 72 to, you know, reflect all these new, you know, Disney-related experiences. And so many kids like, I want to go there. I want to do that.
including me. So apparently it worked. So we're outside the back of the Contemporary right now. We see sort of off to the straight ahead of us what's left of the garden wings of the Contemporary, which is interesting now that it's not Bay Lake Tower. We've got Bay Lake Tower to our left. We're now looking at over the marina. And in the distance, Jim, I see Discovery Island.
Yep.
Ah, Discovery Island. Did you bring your scuba gear? Because we could do a whole other podcast from over there.
Well, you know, what is it? The Urban Commandos that actually did that?
I know.
It's like the 3 o'clock swim over from Fort Wilderness.
The 3 a.m. swim. I mean, yeah, 3 o'clock in the morning.
I did not bring my water wings with me.
I'm just curious about alligators in the water. I don't know if... Don't alligators feed at night? I mean, they probably didn't think of it. That would probably be the only thing I was thinking of.
Well, but even then, I don't know if you've ever seen the photographs, but when they actually got over there, it was clear that when they came off the island, they thought they were going back. So they were, literally the
oh, so when Disney left the island, Disney thought, well, we'll just be back in 6 months or something.
Well, yeah, it's just that so much, between the schedules that are tacked up on the wall and the food that was still in the refrigerator.
Jim, you're working Tuesday.
It's like, I'll meet you at the island. So, but yeah, this is, and there were no less than 3 different concepts that they toyed with for using this real estate. There was the Lost interactive experience.
Lost? The TV show.
Right. They actually had protracted conversations, and they moved very heavily through a development of a Myst-themed.
That's right. I heard that was like on and off and on and off and on and off.
And I think in the end, and this is weird to say this, given the deal that Disney just made with James Cameron for Avatar, but it ultimately came down to, well, why are we paying for somebody else's intellectual property? Can't we come up with something of our own?
The good old days.
Yeah.
So, when they could still think like that with a serious face.
And the last version was a set of 12 honeymoon cottages. But then it becomes a question of, okay, so you have to have a boat.
Boat on call.
24/7. You have to build some sort of support facilities out there. And it's just sort of like, it's now kind of a blank spot on the real estate. Because it was like, all right, that kind of makes sense. But, the way Disney works is like, okay, what would we make off of that? All right, show me what we projected to make over 10 years. Now show me what we'd have to spend up front. And if it doesn't deliver, if the return on investment isn't significant enough, we'll circle around to it, we'll find an idea.
So I think what is their goal? It has to break even within a year or 18 months or something,
that and to be well into profit by 5 years. And that if you can't be showing that you've broken even by year 3, they're not even going to consider it.
So Discovery Island just kind of sitting there right now.
And likewise, you think about Fort Wilderness and River Country, and in fact, the River other Country. DVC that's not supposed to be built.
Wait, they're not supposed to be building. I heard that too, though. I've heard that from a couple of different places.
It's just kind of interesting to me to watch them try to figure out new places to drop these things.
So the reason why we're doing this, I think we talked about this on a previous show, but the reason why Disney keeps building DVC is DVC revenue counts as theme park revenue for Disney. So they've become addicted to it. Every year, their theme park revenue bottom line is padded by DVC sales. So if they ever stopped doing that, there'd be a huge drop in theme park revenue that have to explain.
So you have to keep those plates spinning.
But at some point, Jim, they're going to run out. Well, that's why they're doing Aulani, right? Let's think about something other than Orlando.
So far, that's going so well.
Again, with the paperwork thing. All right, so let's walk back to the Contemporary. Maybe we'll do a walk through the lobby, see what's going on over there.
Okay.
It's still a lovely day, though, really.
No, absolutely. But just one other little thing that you have to understand that before they flashed on the idea, they were going to have to raise up the entire site because of the low water table.
Oh, that's right. So when they were building Disney, the idea was that they had to truck in. Is who the Blowfish playing like a wedding or something? They sound like they're really close. It's probably the only thing they're doing these days. No, but anyway, so they had to truck in tons and tons of dirt to build up the land because essentially it was swamp back in the 70s.
That's exactly. But the original plan was Bay Lake was going to be the body of water. And in fact, where we are now would have been...
The back of the Contemporary.
Would have been... There have been 3 different themed villages back here. There would have been a Cape Cod themed village. There would have been a Tahitian themed village. and actually, you know, following through on what had been built or what they were planning to build, the Persian Resort. But three little coves, each of them.
Really, around the same...
Yep.
So they ended up with three resorts, just not in the way that it was originally envisioned.
Well, you know, that was always sort of the, you know, it's like, that's what we think we're going to need.
Three. So. We think we're going to need three. They're 27, right?
Well, 20. Can stop any time now.
Exactly. Yeah, what was the thing about capacity issues? Actually, so we're walking into the lobby. I like the lobby. It's interesting, though, that sort of the lobby's on the first floor and... all of the main things, right? All the restaurants are on the fourth floor, mm-hmm. except for the Wave, which is the first floor.
But again, you're married to kind of the 1970s thought about how you do a resort. I mean, for example, we've just gotten on the escalator, and notice how tight the escalator is.
The escalators were definitely built for a thinner people like Twiggy.
Now, and again, when you consider the ever expanding American ass, it's just sort of like This has always been one of those issues with this hotel, with the steel and the concrete. It's like, we should really do something about that. It's like...
Yeah, we should really relocate the steel and the concrete.
But what are we going to do? You know, are we really going to spend the money? You know, because, I mean, look at...
Oh, we have to go up again. We have to go up one more floor, right?
Okay.
We have to go up. So we're on the sort of the second floor of the convention center stuff right now. Looks like they're doing a little bit of work. Oh, the columns are blue now.
But... You also know the significant place that the contemporary occupies in American political history, right?
I know that the only thing I knew about that was that the Beatles broke up here, right?
There is
at the Poly.
All right, but this is actually where Nixon did the famous "I am not a crook" speech.
No, this was here?
Seriously?
Yeah.
All right, he was looking for a friendly audience at that point in his presidency, and he came out for Republicans in the state of Florida and. You know, just the Q&A, and it's like, well, that would mean I'm a crook, and I am not a crook.
That's
right here, right here.
Wow, so we're at the fourth floor now. We're on the main floor of the Contemporary. We've got, we've actually got monorails going back and forth. We're in the Grand Canyon Concourse.
Now, it's an amazing, airy space. I mean, this is the one area where the design really does pay off.
Yeah, I mean, here, you can sort of see the full effect of... The triangular architecture. You've got a huge open space. Mm-hmm. It's bisected by walkways to either end of the floor. But overall, it really works. It's good.
And then you factor in that you've got the charming Mary Blair tile work. Very early on that helped make this more of a huggy space, because that's the other thing that
it's sterile. The thing is sterile without the mural actually be.
You know, it just, and this is, sterile in, Logan's Run 1973
exactly.
kind of way. It's
exactly.
I'm sorry, Len, that little crystal is glowing in my hand. I have to die now. But first, a snack, So
this is Contempo Cafe. This is sort of their trial at automating food service where you don't have wait staff. So you get to sit at tables, but you order from touchscreens. You pick it up at a central place, you pay for it, and then you go sit. So it's
was this what the test drove at Captain Cook's over at Poly?
So Captain Cook's came after this. This was I think one of the first, or maybe they were doing it at Pecos Bill's.
Oh,
first with the
go.
Touchscreen. I think
there
it was Pecos Bill's Contempo Cafe.
Got it. Okay.
But it's interesting. It's the food is actually cooked to order, which isn't bad. So it's not heat lampy,
Nope. Which
you wouldn't expect at a deluxe resort anyway. But It's just a little odd because of the way that you touch screen, pick up food, pick up drinks, and then pay.
Yep.
You would think that it would be order, pay, pick up, but it's all the same. So,
it's the interesting thing is they do survey people who stay at this hotel, and one of the issues, oddly enough, people love the monorail, except that it's slow, and that coupled with the monorail station up here is, again, because we're talking about the 1970s when people were thin. It's a very tight, small space, but whether it's the queue or the station or that sort of thing, and people really just sort of kind of feel like, So, but it's one of these things where they acknowledge that, look, we get this survey answer all the time, but it's like, it means in order to fix this, shutting down the monorail for roughly 18 months.
Yeah, it's not like you're going to reroute the monorail. It's not like you can switch tracks. There's only one way to go. They could conceivably run at TTC to Grand Floridian and then back again.
Well,
but then there wouldn't be an express monorail. Then it'd just be ferries.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And face it, people pay a premium to stay here because it is a monorail.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. So, yeah, the contemporary without, well, it'd be walking distance, but it's a 10-minute walk.
Yeah.
And then how would you get people to Epcot? It'd be buses.
Yeah. And it's, and we're already dealing with the situation now where it's like, I was coming over here today, you know, 10:30 in the morning. Sea of buses and employees getting there on two-lane roads across Disney property.
That's right.
You know, it just...
It's one way each way.
Yeah. It's an infrastructure that worked really, really well with one theme park, three hotels.
30 years ago.
Yeah. And now, you know, we're at this point where, you know, they've maxed out the system, and it's just sort of like...
Yeah.
They have to bite the bullet at some point. And...
And build more infrastructure.
Yeah.
If you build infrastructure, then you've got long-term maintenance, you've got ongoing capital stuff. Let's go ahead. So we're going to take a walk out to the viewing area for Magic Kingdom fireworks. We're going to go out on the veranda, the patio. This is actually a great view. So to our right is Bay Lake Tower. Jim, what's that fountain in front of us, straight ahead? Oh, monorail passing overhead. It's monorail... Burgundy? Purple? What's the giant fountain looks like Old Faithful over there?
I actually just found out about this. Because, again, anybody who's coming into property, what's that? You know, and it turns out that it looks like a fountain. What it is it's aerating the pond.
Ah, so algae doesn't grow.
There we go.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
But, you know, that...
That's huge. I mean, that spout it's over the treetops.
That's it, exactly. And, in fact, what they've actually gotten... They've had an issue with people pulling in... to contemporary security and asking about it.
Like, wait, can I have the water spout view?
Yeah, and it's like, we're just aerating the pond. We're really sorry. You know, it's like, it is attractive, but at the same way, it's become something of a curiosity factor. So there are discussions about, can we lower the height of this so it's not...
I mean, really, so it's above the tree line, and we're standing on the fourth floor.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, depending on how the wind is blowing, and I guess... minute to minute or second to second water pressure. It's pretty darn. I would say it's what? It's at least one, two, three, four, five, six. It's at least six, maybe seven stories high. That's about as high as you can get water. I mean, that's as high as you can pump water.
And it's not Old Faithful. It's Old Frothful. Okay,
So we're looking. Let's go look at the Magic Kingdom here. So they've got a set of about 12 seats here. Overlooking the Magic Kingdom, we've got... Here comes another monorail. We've got Space Mountain in the distance. I can see two monorails queued up to go into the Magic Kingdom. And then, perfectly blue sky day. Not a cloud in sight. The only thing that we can see now... two construction cranes and... Jim, is that a new AT&T cell phone tower in the distance there? I think it is,
isn't
it?
Why, yes.
So I read in the Orlando Sentinel that Disney has installed a new... Sorry, that AT&T has installed a new cell phone tower on Disney property just for capacity during Christmas. And I think that's actually the tower right there. So if you guys are looking at it from the contemporary, it's almost equidistant between... Cinderella Castle and Space Mountain, literally right in the middle. It looks like a construction crane from here, but it's not really a construction crane. Although there are, at this moment, Fantasyland construction cranes on either side.
No, how much of that do you think will double back into next gen? You know, they're obviously...
Good point. I thought it was just because I was complaining about it.
Yep. No, I mean, it's just if they're going to need... that level of cell service just for Christmas. Imagine what's going to happen when next gen comes in.
So, real quick, what's next gen, Jim?
Oy, next gen is...
In 30, you got a minute and a half. I have a glorious 3-hour presentation of this. You got a minute and a half.
There we go. Oh, all right. The notion of next gen literally is you basically can carry your theme park experience in your hand, whether it's your fast passes or, you know, the notion of being on board an attraction and having, you know, the AA figure turn and talk to your daughter. You know, I mean, there are, you know, in fact, we were talking about this the other day. The problem with next gen is it's hundreds of little things that will add up ultimately to sort of the ultimate personal a Disney theme park, you know, a resort experience. And the irony is it's all built on the back of technology.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, so it's not story, it's not attractions, it's technology.
No, but it's all these little things. But again, at the same time, you're going to need so much bandwidth and such to drive all of these little personal experiences. You know, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if we come back here in a year and see a companion for the tower, if not two, just, you know, so they can
just
triangulate, you know, and come lightning strike time, ooh, you know.
Oh, that's right, yeah, so now they're essentially at a single point of failure. Actually, it was interesting, I was here during December, and I literally could not get a signal. You can almost tell what the crowd size was in the Magic Kingdom by how badly your cell phone was functioning. So, like, from 6 a.m. to, like, 8 a.m., everything was fine. About 8 to 9... You really, you know, call quality had diminished. It was kind of tough to surf the web. By like 9 o'clock, literally couldn't get anything. Couldn't make a call. Couldn't get text. Couldn't surf the web or anything. Then about 11 o'clock at night, you get this flurry of text messages like, "Hey, I'm in the Magic Kingdom. It's 10 a.m. Where are you?" You know, 12 hours later, and you know, you get to all of a sudden, you know, 16 missed calls, 26 text messages, and oh, by the way, the web works again.
Speaking of cell phones, though, I actually on Saturday got in to see Tiki.
Oh yeah, the revised 1971.
And it was so funny to watch. It was like literally you had an attentive audience for like 45 seconds, and then the first cell phone came out, and then the next cell phone came out, and I stopped counting at 15. And it was just, I mean, you know,
45 seconds. They're not even through opening number.
No, but it was like, all right, you know, I'm sitting down.
Okay, bird singing, got it. You know, okay, what's next?
You know, and it just, I think that's what amuses the hell out of me. The whole notion of. You know, we're going to bring this back for nostalgia factor, and it's like, and you know, the nostalgia lasts 45 seconds.
So. Isn't that great? It's a great idea. What's going on USA Today?
There you go. There you go.
So. Should we walk to the monorail?
Sure.
Let's see what's going on in the monorail. This is a lovely space. They should rent it out. They should charge money for this. Ooh, so Jim and I are walking past the detritus of last night's fireworks viewing. Apparently there were some, you know, there's a long, like foot-long things filled with sugar, the candy sticks. There were a bunch of those in various colors scattered below the seat. So it looks like one family was probably up all night with that.
Children in diabetic comas, one or two.
And one or the other. Kids passed out this morning. just need some pixie dust. All right, walking back in. It's still a lovely day. I really can't get over it. It was going to be hot all week, and then it's cooled down. It's a beautiful time to be in Walt Disney World right now. So we're walking back through the Grand Canyon Concourse, walking past the Fantasia shop. The thing that I don't like about the Fantasia shop, round Mickey ears in an otherwise angular building. Doesn't go. If this had been like a pointy thing where you could stick an eye out with it, it would have been perfect design. Right, but it doesn't go.
It's not at high speeds at the gift shop, kids.
It's not dangerous enough. That's what I don't like about it. It's not dangerous enough.
Well, but at the same time, I mean, you know, the new design, you know, to fit into this angular space to try to turn this into a retail.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So the reason the ears are there is because they couldn't put anything low because it would screw up the walking. Okay. I kind of get it. Still not an excuse.
Yeah. No, I agree. Okay. But I don't know. They're going to have to address issues with this hotel. I mean, it's coming. We are still years away. But where it gets interesting, I keying off of the fact that, you know, we're here for the 40th, and Disney is already making plans for the 50th. The big deal redo of this, in fact, you know, queuing into the rumor, you know, that we were talking about earlier about the Poly. This, between here and 2021, they're doing a massive redo. Because this will, obviously...
Of,
you know,
of the resort? Of the contemporary?
They have to. You know, because, think about it, for the 50th, you know, the pressure is actually going to be on, I want to be in the hotel they stayed in. You know, for the opening.
50 years ago.
Yeah. And but at the same time, you have to address how many people... Think about it. How few people in electric carts can use this space? Coupled with...
Yeah, with electric carts. Well, the trouble with electric carts would be you'd have to take the escalator. But even then, we're actually on the fourth floor right now. Fifth floor. We're navigating the metal guide rails that get you to the monorail. But yeah, they're pretty tight, actually. I don't know that you would get an electric vehicle through this. You'd come up through the escalator, but it'd be tricky. Oh, somebody did it.
Yep. But no, it's this whole situation. And in fact... You know, if you talk with the people in ops, you know, for example, I was talking with a friend who works at Haunted Mansion, and it's like, you know, they've now made the queue there. So
that's right, yeah, that the there's a little side detour that you can use for ECVs.
But it means when you put an ECV in the stretching room, that vehicle takes up the space of 8 people.
Oh, because everyone has their personal space around
it. Exactly.
Yeah, so it's not just the space of the ECV. It's that no one gets within 6 inches of it, so they don't get run over.
And you know, and so you multiply that by how many ECVs you actually see on property these days. It's getting kind of interesting. They like the money, and you know, they want to be fair to all guests. But you know, this, you know, between what you have to do to queues, what you have to do, you know, to make shows accessible, the bus system.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff.
Over and over and over.
Oh, and we have our own monorail queue. This thing. This is interesting.
Ooh.
All right, so we're headed over to the TGC. Any last words on the contemporary, Jim?
You know, it will continue to be what it is. It's going to try to be the most modern hotel on property, and as Tomorrowland proves, that's a hard thing to do.
One of the things I heard for Next Gen is it Contemporary or Bay Lake Tower will be the ultimate or the highest level of Next Gen amenities that you can get. So the idea behind Next Gen, right, is that if you stay at a value resort, you'll get a few amenities. If you're at a moderate resort, you'll get a few more amenities. If you're at a deluxe resort, you'll get almost all the amenities. But then there's this idea that they're going to pick one hotel, and that if you stay at that hotel, you get every single thing that Next Gen could offer. Which hotel is it?
Well, again, it's interesting you bring that up, because that hotel, he who cannot be named, over by the Poly, the Flow. You know, the whole notion is to pull that off is a certain level of wiring, a certain level of, you know, Wi-Fi has to be built into every room. And, you know, the notion is, do we do that for Bay Lake? Do we go in and have to retrofit, change out technology? Or right from the get-go, we do this with the Flow.
Oh, so do you go back and pay the money to retrofit an existing building, or as you're building the Grand Floridian DBC from the ground up?
You can use that building as your beta, you know.
Right.
So, yeah. So that's what I'd heard. But again, I do know that there is, you know, a certain tug of war going on between, you know, Bay Lake and, you know, again, DEC.
You know what they need to do? They need to put small Spanish ships in the in Seven Seas Lagoon and just let them fight it out like
that's
we did
right.
The 17th century.
That's right.
The Polynesian will be dugout canoes coming out to fight. That won't last long, but, you know. Yeah, so we're actually passing now the Wilderness Lodge on our left. We're up on the Skyway in the Sky, or the Highway in the Sky, sorry. And we're pulling into the TTC. We can sort of see the Poly in the distance. All right, Jim, so we're pulling into the Polynesian. By the way, this is my favorite Walt Disney World resort right here, the Polynesian. I love the ambiance. I love the landscaping. It's beautiful. It's actually one of the smallest resorts, too, right?
It is.
So it's my sentimental favorite. God forbid, Jim, God forbid, anything should ever happen to this resort. Why do you say that, Jim?
Well, just this morning, there are some rumors making the rounds in regard to the future of this resort. In particular, what may happen that in regard to this may be shut for quite a while to repair some pretty scary issues.
Some, like, structural issues?
If the rumors are true, we're talking things like sinkholes. And, you know, I mean, this you know, the interesting thing is it wasn't all that long ago. They redid a lot of the longhouses here for, you know, mold issues and you know, just an older hotel type thing.
So I'd heard some of the stuff that they did in the refurb back, what, like 2005, 2007, mm-hmm. was actually propping up sides of the buildings that had begun to crumble. So like the ground giving way. By the way, we just came off the monorail. We're now on the second floor of the Polynesian. To our right is the new Kona sushi place. By the way, have you tried the sushi over here?
No.
It's fantastic. So apparently they pulled chefs from California Grill to staff this. So it's actual sushi people, not people that, you know, were serving at Ohana and then coming over here and learning how to slice and dice rice. We've got Kona to our left. We've got Ohana in the far back, and we've got retail spaces to our right. But you know what else I like? I like the smell of the Poly.
No, it has always had a distinct sound, a distinct feel. In fact, you know, it's interesting that this is your favorite, because this is, according to Disney's own internal surveys and such, this is the hotel that when people have stayed here before, they're most likely to request, you know, that they want to go back. They love the feel of it. They love the convenience of it. You know, in fact, just the other night I was over here, and it was and was watching the Hallowishes fireworks from here.
Oh, yeah, it's a great view of the fireworks from here.
No, absolutely. And it was fascinating to watch literally the hundreds of people who had come out to do just the same thing. That, you know, whether they were sitting up on the little hillside where they built sort of the wedding platform, or, you know, turning their chairs away from the screening of Tangled they were having.
Oh, they're doing it on the beach?
Yeah, right. Yeah, they played old screening.
I like that idea, actually. It's good for kids. Yeah. So we're standing over right now the waterfall in the middle of the lobby. We're looking down. There's a small circular, not small, it's actually huge. Mm-hmm. It takes up the entire center of the resort. But it's a multi-level waterfall with a ring of water around it. It's quiet. See, it's not obtrusive, right? It's just the right amount of background noise. We've got green plants that literally go from the first floor all the way up to the, almost to the ceiling. So we've got these palm trees on the side. We've got an open, clear roof. Again, it's a perfectly sunny day. You see the arches for the main building. I guess the canopy that's holding the ceiling up is above us. It's actually not that crowded here right now, but it's... it's still a pretty dynamic place. So you've got smell, you've got sight, you've got sound. If someone was giving us pineapple drinks, we would have taste.
There we go.
And that would be good. Let's take a walk around, Jim. Let's go out. You want to go? You want to go restaurants? Or you want to go retail?
Let's start restaurants. In fact, we could wander over to Ohana.
So Ohana is the family style, all you can eat meat menu, right? Sausage, pork. Pretty much if it's got hooves, it's on a skewer somewhere, plus shrimp.
But you know, but at the same time, this is a ridiculously popular concept that, you know, in fact, it's been interesting to watch how the lobby, we're standing here in the lobby that is bumped out to be the waiting area for a while.
Oh yeah, so this is new. So it used to be the one corner of the resort was dedicated to the Ohana waiting area. Mm-hmm. But now it's essentially taken up one entire short side of the resort. They've moved the check-in desk all the way out. So literally one quarter of the square lobby is now dedicated to Ohana waiting and Ohana itself.
And you know, the interesting thing is, again, that this used to be a wonderful space on the second floor, and it's still got chairs that guests can sit in, and you know, during this time of day when there isn't so much demand. But this kind of, you know, doubles back on what we were talking about over at Tomorrowland, where they have, you know, the terrace areas that sit empty for 9-10 months out of the year that are then used for seasonal dining.
Yeah, and they make up enough money on the seasonal dining to let it stay. Let's say close the rest of it. So this is interesting in the way they've got the seats set up. So they've got seats going all along one wall, and then an open space of about, I would say, 5 or 6 yards, maybe 10 feet, maybe 15 feet, and then another row of chairs. It's almost like the adults sit on the side and the kids run around in the middle.
That's pretty much it. You know, just caroming between the parents. But again, for the 2 to 3 hours when Ohana is doing maximum business, they need this. The rest of the day...
Yeah. So yeah. Breakfast and dinner, right?
There you go.
The 2 hours around breakfast, the 2 hours around dinner.
But
okay, we'll take a walk around. Anything new going on with Ohana?
You know, it's... You know, in fact, when we were over at Animal Kingdom taking our survey on the way out, you know, the Ohana is kind of staring down the gun of every Disney restaurant right now, where there is an initiative from on high about we need healthier food. And
oh, really?
Yeah.
So, wait, so hold on. So you're saying that the pork sausage filet and shrimp skewers are not...
You know, with the complimentary bypass, you know.
So wait. So Jim, if I understand correctly, each of those animals eat vegetables. And if you eat the animal, aren't you getting all of the vegetable goodness?
I think you actually have to eat a full vegetarian to get
one entire vegetarian.
One entire vegetarian.
That's what does... Okay, I'm a little mistaken then.
So we're going to do poofs and everything. So
we're looking at Kona now, actually. Kona, like I said, Kona's pretty interesting. They've got the new sushi place, which is fabulous. Mm. People should go to it. It's very one-on-one service.
Kona itself, actually, not very crowded, but it's lunchtime right now, and it's an easy reservation to get.
No, absolutely. But again, it's just fascinating to watch, again, a 40-year-old facility that they continue to tinker with, whether it's, you know, bumping out waiting areas or, you know, can we mix up the menu over here?
By the way, have you tried the Eggs Benedict over here at Kona?
Okay. I came here. I was a little bit on the way to the airport.
Everyone thinks Tonga toast. I'm telling you, Eggs Benedict. It's got a pork hash, pork hash with it. Mm-hmm. Best thing on the menu. I don't even like Eggs Benedict. It was fabulous.
No, just literally came here to visit a friend on the way to the airport, and it was just like, could not stop eating the Eggs Benedict. You know, having a conversation. Okay, well, I'm glad I made the trip. But yeah, it's. But the other thing I find fascinating is all of this straight off the monorail.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just literally capture them as they get back.
Yeah, so this is a great lobby for either coming from the monorail or from or just getting it off of your car. Would you say that most people make the entrance, most people come into the Poly from the first floor or from the second floor?
Well, traditionally they come in from the first floor, but again, you know, when they're tired and, you know, that's when they've got them off of the monorail, which is, again, gift shop, you know, our little retail space here where it's getting drinks or snacks or...
Oh, yes. So you come back, you're a little bit thirsty.
It's great design. It's you know, and again, I know that there are, you know, theme park fans will ding Disney over and over again about getting the minor touches wrong or, you know, the big things. But something like this, where it's 40 years of finessing the design, you know, that's brilliant up there. You know,
oh, yeah. I mean, it's a hugely successful. It's lasted 40 years. I mean, okay, so you got one or two complaints from the kids in the background, but whatever.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, look, we wandered into the lobby, and oh, look, a DVC sales point. So.
Oh, and it's running, and apparently the screensaver is running Windows XP Professional. By the way, Disney, if you're listening to this, that's going out of support very, very soon. You definitely want to upgrade to Windows 7. All right, so let's walk out to Lu'au Cove. So the big thing around Lu'au Cove is the redo of Captain Cook's. How's that worked out for them?
I was in there literally a couple of nights ago, and frankly, people like to be able to order their own food. They like, you know, it being freshly made, but the cash wrap, you know, is just... It's obtrusive.
People, the cash grab, you say?
Oh, the cash wrap, the place where you actually go to, you know, get to pay.
Oh, the cashiers. Okay.
It's kind of counterintuitive, the layout.
And it is, because you kind of go to the right to get your food, back to get your food, then you've got to come back to the front to pay, then you go up and to the left to sit. It is counterintuitive.
Up and to the left. So
we're coming up on the volcano pool right now. So we're actually looking out straight out towards the Magic Kingdom. Cinderella Castle directly in front of us. We've got the main Poly pool in front of us. We've got the giant volcano to our left. We've got a longhouse to our right.
But you have the other right in front of us. See if you can see the island there. You can depending on the time of year and the growth. You can sometimes see the pieces of the wave machine. The wave machine. This was actually an opening day feature for this resort.
A wave machine out in the middle of Bay Lake?
Seriously,
Seven Seas Lagoon.
The exact same sort of machine that's used at Typhoon Lagoon to make the artificial wave is out there on the island.
Really?
It ran for 6 months, and in fact, there's this great shot of Dick Nunes, who was, again, a huge surfing enthusiast.
I was going to say, was he surfing?
Yes. I mean, literally, him on
da,
a curl. And it was such a wonderful... I mean, it was literally, it was this authentic island experience as the surf crashed in. But sadly, nobody at Disney had thought, well, when the wave goes out, what happens?
No one thought, oh, erosion.
Yes, that's it exactly. The beach went away. And it was like, oh, you know, all this beautiful white sand that they'd hauled up and rigged. And it was like,
And now it's at the bottom of Seven Seas Lagoon.
It was literally one of these situations where it's like, we love it. We know it works. But, you know, we just had not taken into consideration, you know, how it would do in an open body of water, which is... When they revisited the idea and built Typhoon Lagoon, I mean, it's
right.
Cement bottom pool. You know, there is the little sand feature.
Right.
But see, literally, you can see Do you see?
Oh yeah, you can totally see where the water would come out right there. There's a little inlet in the island.
Yeah, I
mean, it's totally obvious.
That whole piece right there, and it's just literally a dump tank, and it would just, and the wave would roll in this direction.
So now we're actually behind the Hawaii building at the Poly. Now we have an unobstructed view. We're almost, if we stepped 1 foot forward, would be on the white beach sand of the Poly. In our immediately to our left, you can see the Grand Floridian. You can see the spa, the wedding pavilion. There are a couple of small resort launches, boats running back and forth. Again, perfectly. Oh, you got the ferry in the distance. You guys can hear the ferry horn. Not crowded at all, but boy, this is, oh, the monorail's running. Jim, this should be a panoramic photo right here. This is beautiful.
No, absolutely, absolutely. But the interesting thing, standing here at this point, we can see the Contemporary, we can see the Bay, but we can also see, you know, just the other three hotels that were supposed to be built for opening day. I mean, for example, we look across the way, this is the Grand Flow, but that is also, was originally the site of the Thai, you know, the
Persian Resort.
Well, no, Persia was actually going to be...
Oh, they're going to do lots of... So they're going to do... Oh, okay, Persia and Thai. Okay, cool.
So in fact, the tie-in with the issues that the Poly is supposed to have with, you know, in regard to sinkholes and that sort of thing, right next to where between the Contemporary and the TTC, there is a piece of property that at one point was supposed to be the Venetian Resort, which ironically, you know, again,
they've got one of those in Vegas.
There you go.
Huh, how about that? Actually, it's lovely. Have you been?
Yes, yes.
Oh, that's very nice.
But again, it's a sinking city, which was perfect about this spot because they kept putting in, you know, the pilings, the test pilings to see what the site could hold, and they would just sink out of sight. But it was such a
sort of accuracy in architecture that they didn't want.
Yeah. So, you know, all right, they abandoned that idea, but it's such a primo piece of real estate that the Imagineers return later to the same piece of property, and they propose doing a Grecian, and the idea is, okay, we'll do lower buildings further out, and we'll sort of put, you know, a dock area, and same thing, they would just put in construction pilings, go to hammer them in, and they just, there is no bottom over there.
Wow.
Because this is all, you know, just, again, this was all swampland.
Yeah, and they built it up, right?
Yep. Yeah. But yeah, no, the Persian would have been between, basically out, in fact, very close to where the boat dock area for, you know, the sort of, the harbor where everything is taken back to be worked on, that sort of thing, was constructed. But it would have sort of loomed up over the horizon at Fantasyland. In fact, long range.
That kind of sort of would have fit in. That wouldn't have been terrible.
Yeah. But, you know, it, and again, would have been kind of a hard sell as the oil crisis begins and the, you know.
Exactly. The person.
You know, it's a sort of hostage crisis. But it was all,
come stay at the hotel. Well, we promise you can leave.
But all beautiful blue minarets and, you know, yeah. I mean, it really was a fantasy building.
Nice. So we're walking, back behind the Hawaii building. This is the concierge, the club level building. Mm-hmm. Wonderful rooms, actually. If you get some of the patio floors here, these are wonderful to watch the fireworks. And in fact, the best Disney vacation I've ever had where I didn't have to work, and those are few and far between, but one of the best ones I ever had was Tiki Fest, C.C. Seifert's Tiki Fest back in 2007. We got a room at the club level here at Hawaii, and it literally did nothing but sit and relax and talk to Steve for like two whole days. Steve's family, you know, and just met people from Tiki. So this was funny. I brought Hannah, so it was the first father-daughter trip that we'd ever taken. So we were staying in, you know, one of these rooms right here in the middle of Hawaii, and do you see that in front of the building, there's that little hammock right there?
Yep.
Hannah fell asleep in the hammock because it was a day like this. It was nice. It was cool. You know, sun out, not crowded at all. Mm-hmm. The thing that was interesting was a rainstorm had come in, so it got to, it cooled off a lot, and then the rain started to fall. Hannah was still asleep in the hammock. And there's lightning crashing. There's hail coming down. There's pelting, you know, pelting rain. I was like, Hannah, wake up. Hannah, you gotta go inside. Finally, I just had to pick her up and carry her. So she's like, something wrong? Why am I wet? She was out. Yeah, but it was, I only had to walk, you know, the 30 yards, but this is really relaxing. The other interesting thing about this first floor here at the Poly is because the walls aren't that big between rooms, you actually get to know your neighbors.
Oh,
here, good. So it's not like, you know, at the other Disney resorts, you're essentially walled off. You're in your little cell, and that's it. And there's no conversation between the two rooms. Here, it's actually much more open, and you've got this huge green lush lawn in front of you. We can, you know, let the kids take their shoes off and run around directly in front of you, and you're sitting in the shade. They're running around having a good time. You're hopefully sitting on a lawn chair sipping a Mai Tai or something and just watching, you know, everything go on. There's plenty of activity to look at. I mean, there's boats passing by. There's monorails passing by, the occasional parasailing, the occasional guy riding in the sky, you know. And you've got the Magic Kingdom off in the distance. It couldn't be prettier.
No, absolutely. This is, you know, sort of a... Again, this is why people come back here.
They have, my favorite resort, man.
They do. This is the quintessential, you know, Disney theme park experience. You
but think about it. I mean, this is a much more intimate feel. I mean, look at it. You can't, if you turn around, mm-hmm. right, you can't see more than 20 or 30 yards in the distance. But there are walkways there that you can see, right? Mm-hmm. So look, so now we're turned around. The Hawaii building is on our right. The Magic Kingdom's on our left. We're looking at, Steve Seifert would kill me, but one of the longhouses right next to Hawaii. There's a little path that goes off to our left, but it's just that you can't see exactly where it's going because there's some lush green plants. You've got some palm trees in the distance that kind of tell you, yeah, it goes a little bit to the left, but we don't really know where it goes beyond that. Why don't you come take a look? And then there's another walkway over here to the right. We'll take the one to the right. So you walk up to the right, and then there's another walkway, and it goes somewhere towards the interior of the resort. But
here's the irony. This is the exact same construction technique for this hotel was the one that was used for the Contemporary. This is the modular rooms built, slotted, you know, literally over here with a crane, slotted in.
Yeah. So it was a shell, mm-hmm. like an Erector set, that they slid rooms into.
Now, mind you, that was only for the original sets of hotels. By the time they began expanding,
the buildings had settled, right? And they... So the idea was that as the rooms needed refurbishment, you would just pull the room out almost like a semi-trailer, and then you would refurbish it, and then you'd slide it back in.
Absolutely.
But then the building started to settle. Things became not square.
And more to the point, you know, the people, Disney had the falling out with the people who actually had created this construction technique, U.S. Steel.
Yep.
So, you know, any of the new wings, the newer buildings, were all done traditionally. They're all done in the traditional construction style. So
that's a shame because the idea conceptually the idea was brilliant, right? You know, you need to refurbish a room. You just you take out the old room, you put in something temporary, right? So you don't lose the room, right? And then when the new room comes back, you're set. Brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. But at the same time, it's just that, you know, the weird thing of it is our idea of convenient and future. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, again, this is groundbreaking for 71. Now, you know, the whole notion of somebody is like, wait a minute, my hotel room is the exact same as every other hotel room in here?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, no, I want special. I mean, that's the age we live in now.
It's mass customization. That's the age that we live in.
Yeah.
So, Eva, so we're walking through now. We're coming up on the... We're walking by Luau Cove, and again, Steve would kill me, but there are a bunch of different longhouses around here. Again, though, same sort of theme, right? Mm-hmm. You've got the first floor balconies, patios, which people can walk out on. You notice, too, that everywhere we're walking, they're facing away from the sun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very, very smart. Good design. So we've got the Neverland Club coming up to our left here. That's actually still pretty popular for kids' night out, right?
Yes. But I remember it had only been open a little while. And I came by to sort of take a look at it. And it was one of these things where it's like I had to borrow a child. You know,
there are theme parks like that in the UK where you can't get in if you're an adult alone.
Ah. So.
Can I rent a kid? that one will do right there. How much for the children? just the one.
I'll take that little toehead one, please. You know?
Yes. How much for the ginger? Yes.
But no, it's just interesting to watch how they've marched this concept out. The effect of, you're a parent, do you want to get away from your children for a while? Let us take them.
Here, have a Mai Tai.
There you go.
So we're coming to the Neverland Club. I got a little bit of background music here. A little musical interlude for... So I love, you guys know, you guys who are listening to the podcast know that I love Mike Newell and Mouse World Radio. So I think it's one of the most fun things that you could do. Or to set up as background music while you're going about your day. So at work, if you want to get a little fix of Disney, there's always Mouse World Radio. They've got four channels. Some of them are subscriber based. You got to subscribe to Live 365. But the funny thing is Mouse World Radio has this Polynesian loop, and it's the entire Polynesian background loop.
Oh.
But they do this war drum thing. I love it all. I mean, mm-hmm. it's all very, except they do like this 15-minute thing of war drums, and I swear to God, 30 seconds in. The second time you hear it, you're like, okay, I gotta find another channel. Let me see if it's on Westworld Radio 2. Because it's the one thing I don't like is that particular part of the Polynesian background music. It's literally, I think it's the only thing I don't like about the resort is the war chanting background music. I know that's a small quibble, but I just want to give a shout out to Mike Newell over here.
Well, again, you could save that song for the, save up all your stapling for the day. All right,
that's all your shredding. That's what I should. Oh look! The war chanting's on. Time to get the shredder out. Ooh. Oh, nice. So what is this? Is this runoff here? So this looks new, actually. So we're, Jim and I are walking back to the main lobby. We've got the monorail on our left. And here it looks like they've put a washway almost for water drainage. They've got a huge number of rocks, and this actually doesn't look very Hawaiian because they'd be black if it was Hawaiian. But they've got these rounded sort of boulders. It looks like a gully or a basin for runoff.
This is the new green Disney.
This is the new green Disney. Oh, so it's less lawn? Because this is a lot of rocks. It's a channel. It's about 10, 15 feet wide. And running all along one entire side of a building. Is this erosion control?
More to the effect of it's drainage here gets interesting. I mean, if you look up behind us, we're dealing with an area with very, very heavy slope.
Right. So we're sort of about halfway down. There's a mound of dirt that rises about 6 feet higher than us on the way to the monorail. And then it actually slopes down towards the building. And now that I've said that, if there's a 6 foot slope, actually it's like a 12 foot slope from the top of the one thing to the building, I totally understand why they just put a drainage ditch there. Yeah. Okay, never mind.
Okay. Looks significant for a while there, but.
Yeah. All right, this is where they put Hoffa. We'll just leave it at that.
Okay, all right, good enough. Actually, we're walking back towards the main building. Actually, this is a pretty nice entrance. Once you get past security here, it's a. If you're dropping off at the front, it's not a bad entrance. I don't think it's as formal or as impressive as the Grand Floridian entrance, which is actually pretty nice under the portico. Mm-hmm. But this still isn't bad. And the thing I actually like about this the most is, like any good entrance, you've got a transition area from outside in the sun to indoors. And that's a covered space, right, that introduces you to the architecture and the theming, right? So if you pull in, you've got sort of the dugout canoe effect. With the brown cross beams here, you've got the tiki torches going. You've got waterfalls on either side, and somebody gives you a flower lei to come in. So it's a great entrance. It's not as formal as the Grand Floridian, but again, this resort isn't as formal as the Grand Floridian.
No, and more to the point, you really do get a sense of in fact, I don't mean to be mean about this, given that we just spent a day wandering around. Animal Kingdom, but you kind of know where to look here. You kind of know where to go here.
You know? Sure, no one tells you, oh, the front desk is this way. So it just kind of guides you. This is a wonderful...
The island is moving.
Oh, well, that's neat. The island is moving. Oh, it's probably a water cleaner.
Okay. But...
Oh, that's it. So Jim and I are... So we're just to the right of the entrance. We're walking up. There's a small island. I would say it's about 4 feet long, about 2 feet wide. It's got plants on it, and it's literally floating, and we can see it moving throughout the small waterfall lagoon area to the right. And by the way, that water is crystal clear, so I'm thinking the thing that's floating there is an actual water cleaner. I want one of these areas in my house. So we've got the tiki torch, we've got the sort of the signage or the decorative stick figure that's, you notice the fish is pointing you in the direction, and then you've got the waterfall. Beautiful area. Also another waterfall to your left. Also wonderful. So we're walking in. Oh, and the bridge too. A bridge. That's a great transition experience right there.
Absolutely.
It's very good.
So Len, get his dream. Buy lots of bottoms.
So we're coming into the lobby again. Another waterfall. To the right, we've got check-in services. To the left, we've got bell services. It works out really, really well. I think this is a great lobby. You notice the hidden Mickey right here in the slate, right in front of the entrance.
It's, do you remember when there used to be animals in here? There used to be
parrots. Yeah. Parrots. Yeah, there used to be parrots in here. What happened with the parrots?
Well, kind of like Discovery Island. It's like somebody has to pay to feed the animals. And more to the point, if you really want to go see animals, we have a theme park. Let me sell you a ticket and get you on a bus. So,
this is a shame. All right, any last words for the Polynesian, Jim? We're going to hop on the monorail and go to the Grand Floridian.
Works for me.
Okay, great. All right, so we're back. We're continuing on our monorail resort tour.
I love you, Tooie. Tooie, I do.
Jim is singing because we're over at the Grand Floridian Wedding Pavilion. We just walked over from the Poly. Wedding pavilion is on our right. Sorry, the reception area is behind us. The pavilion itself is to our right. Actually, my brother got married here.
Did he really?
But he's still married too, so there must be something to it.
Okay.
It's lovely actually inside the inside the wedding pavilion. So it's sort of a non-denominational sort of church-like structure. But there's an altar. But behind the altar is an arched window, which perfectly frames Cinderella Castle. It's a complete coincidence, I'm sure, but it works. It just from a visual, it's, you know, you just can't get anything better than that.
Well, and that brings us to the classic story of the year of the, what is it, the 25th anniversary?
Yeah.
Where, you know, they did the castle as the...
As the cake. Oh, by the way, you got this giant birthday cake in the background for your wedding photo.
And they literally, they had brides who were just furious about...
Apoplectic over it?
Yeah, I just...
I got a monorail going. Monorail black coming over us. Hello, monorail bat. Black. Hello, people on the monorail. So we're walking towards the spa, the soon-to-be extinct spa, or actually something. Jim, and there's a huge blue wall between the wedding pavilion and the main building, the Grand Floridian. It says, "Please pardon our appearance. This area is being refurbished for your future enjoyment." Jim, what sort of future enjoyment might they be having?
DVC. And again, this is where people want to be. They want to be
close to the Magic Kingdom.
Close to the Magic Kingdom. They want to be near the monorail. And so, you know, they're systematically walking around and doing just this.
So the walls, by the way, the blue walls extend out past. So from the beach, from the Seven Seas Lagoon beach. All the way to the walkway, the blue walls extend out. In fact, the perimeter of the blue wall extends past the monorail. So again, Jim, you and I talked about this on the way over. Disney's recently announced that the monorail is only going to run for 1 hour past park closing for Disney resort guests. And so we contacted Disney and says, well, look, is this a permanent thing? Is this a budget cutting thing? Or are you guys just doing this to increase the amount of time you have at night to do DVC construction for the Grand Floridian? And of course, Disney hasn't announced formally the construction of the Grand Floridian DVC. So all we got back from them was, we don't know anything about a DVC, and it's as far as we know, it's permanent. At least, so they're completely insulting our intelligence because they had to file permits for the DVC. There are permits on file with the Orange County Construction Board, to allow the construction to continue. But at least they didn't say, we did a survey and guests don't want the monorail to run for more than an hour. Guests actually asked us to do this. At least they didn't insult us and say that.
Well, I think this is what I always find fascinating about Disney is, as a company of storytellers in the
They're remarkably bad about lying. Their lying could use a little bit more. For storytellers, that should be their unofficial mottos. For storytellers, we suck at lying.
Well, but the other thing, for them, it's sort of like they're big into the once upon a time, and the whole notion of you're doing once upon a time, and somebody runs in and goes, "Rosebud was a sled." Just sort of like damn it, now we're telling this story.
No. Back up. Exactly. Oh, hello. So we got a little bit to say. There's not a break. As you say, there's a little break in the wall, but there's not. Can't see anything from here. I'm sure Disney Security would be honest. Like,
oh yeah,
instantly.
Like, hello.
So we're walking. It's actually a nice walk. It's not as shaded as I originally thought it might be. They could put trees on either side of the walkway, by the way, to increase the shade. But now we're walking up behind. Looks like we're behind one of the Grand Floridian pools, and we're coming up on the main building. So in the straight ahead of us, we see the main entrance, the portico, also the monorail station for the Grand Floridian. We're sort of walking into the the west side of the building.
That would be about right. Yeah, the west one.
So it's a lovely structure. It's big.
No, but at the same time, it was, as we mentioned earlier, is the site of what was supposed to be the Venetian.
This was going to be the Venetian, right?
But when Eisner came in, and again, this is, for better or for worse, this is the hotel that Eisner fell in love with and became the architecture patron. All those ugly hotels, are on the back of this one. That, Michael just got fascinated with architecture working on this hotel, but... The argument was, if we're putting a brand new hotel into Walt Disney World, rather than doing the Venetian, because we have the Polynesian right there, why don't we do something that ties in with Florida's own history? And this is, the idea behind this is one of the great resort hotels from the 1920s.
So the Flagler era of hotels.
That's okay. Exactly. So you'd take the train down to Florida for your vacation, and this is the sort of place you'd stay in.
Oh, that's nice. See, I noticed, Jim, as we're walking, we've got an area here to our left as we're going along the walkway. Between the walkway and the monorail, there's this huge path of overgrown grass. So this must be the grass equivalent of the stones we saw at the Polynesian, where this must be Disney's cheap attempt at water runoff control. Because we're standing here looking at the path, right? The grass in the median between the path and the monorail is a good foot taller than everything else, and you can kind of see where the lawnmower sunk into the mud in one area. So this must be where they're doing runoff between the monorail and this. That's kind of funny. So apparently they ran out of money for stones, and they're just letting the grass grow over here.
Well, you know, and
I guess can't see it. It's fine. You know, it's backstage.
More to the point, we are literally at the edge of the construction site. Trust me, when we have finished with our not DVC property, you will see all sorts of landscaping, all sorts of blessing, because, you know, what people will be paying to stay there.
That's right. Oh, and I heard that they're actually... So one of the interesting things about the DVC that's not a DVC that's going in here... they're actually taking some of the beachfront real estate and converting it to parking. So you're going to have beachfront parking at the Grand Floridian.
Yep.
That's an interesting use of real estate.
So, but again, it's just the notion is they want to mix it up. They want to mix, you know, the whole notion of you arrive. I mean, you park your car and step out. You're looking at Seven Seas Lagoon.
Oh, so it's the entrance experience that they're doing there. Okay, it kind of makes sense now. Now I get it. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Jim, for making sense of Disney's real estate design for me.
Again, storytelling.
All right, so we're walking into the Grand Floridian. We're opening the doors. By the way, Jim, have you ever had tea at the Grand Floridian?
Yes.
It's fabulous. I've had tea in England that's not as good as this.
Well, but it's one of these things. Can I have another little tiny sandwich, please?
Yes, please. More cucumber, sir. More cucumber. So we're walking into the Grand Floridian. So, again, one quick design I'm on here. So when you're coming into the Grand Floridian, you don't actually walk immediately into the lobby, just like at the Animal Kingdom and like at the Magic Kingdom, where you walk in and your view is constrained by a low ceiling. Same thing at the Grand Floridian. You've got you come in from the side. There's a low, I'd say maybe it's a 10-foot ceiling that constrains your view almost all the way until you get to the lobby, and then the lobby opens up and it's bam, it's 4 or 5 stories of view. Mm-hmm. All available to you. So it really makes a remarkable thing. You're walking in, you're slowing down, you're looking up. It's really a great way to do the space.
And as beautiful as it is now, in 5 or 6 weeks when they do this for Christmas. In fact...
Oh, yeah. They'll put in the big gingerbread house, actually made out of gingerbread. It'd be like Home Depot meets Betty Crocker.
Oh, it's insane. And in fact, there are families that literally, you know, they book their vacation around when you're putting up the tree. And they will come out...
When is that gingerbread coming up?
But it's literally... It's an event that they will stay up all night and watch. You know, they
watch the tree.
They watch the tree go up.
That's
and,
nice.
You know, just
it's a nice event.
No, it's just a wonderful moment. But now it's what I love about this hotel is just again the sense of space that, you know, you come into this feel of the 1920s of what it must have been like to stay in Florida at that time.
Yeah.
But yet, you know, the various little Disney touches. You know, in fact, this is also the hotel that a lot of the celebrities stay in. In fact,
mm-hmm. Besides that, you mean? Of course.
You know, look, I have a sister-in-law who was staying here, and it was just one of these things. She kept, you know, whenever she got in the elevator, it was Drew Carey.
I mean, just, like he's operating the thing.
Well, in fact, that was the thing.
Third floor, lingerie.
It just after about the third or fourth day, it's like he turned away and said, "Okay, let me tell you where I'm going to go."
That's exactly.
In fact, you know,
we're here again at 3. Is that good for you?
Because clearly we're on the same schedule. And at one point, you know, my sister-in-law Sherry. It's like they're literally over at the ice cream place on Main Street. Mm-hmm. And Carrie came up to her, and it was like, it literally delivered me this big comic scene. It's like, look, I told you to stop following me. And then just sat down with the family and ate. I mean, but he also He loves the Disney parks. In fact,
he's huge. He ran the Disneyland half marathon.
Did he really?
Yeah, he was there. Oh. He's lost a ton of weight.
Yeah,
he's lost like 180 pounds. Yeah, he looks good. In fact, he barely looks like himself.
Well, that's the thing.
The funny thing was, we're at the Disneyland marathon, right? Mm-hmm. A half marathon, and they're calling out the past winners of the of the race. Like 10 minutes before the race, they're calling out celebrities. So they put the camera on Drew Carey, and I'm telling you, that man could not care less that he was on camera. He was trying to get ready to psych himself up to run. He was getting mentally prepared. Mm-hmm. He was like, get that damn camera out of my face. He didn't actually say it, but you could tell from his facial attitude and his body posture. It's like, look, I don't want to be on a camera. I got to get in my zone for a minute here. I gotta, please leave, move the camera. And they moved it pretty quickly. But he was polite, but he was firm about it.
But that's what this hotel is. This is the place where they would, in fact, what is it? Anybody who does, it's either here or Yacht Beach Club when they bring the people in.
Candlelight Processional.
And, but the notion is that, okay, if you're gonna put me up here and bring me to Disney, I'll do it.
Yeah.
So.
That's not bad. Should we take a walk through the lobby?
Sure.
So we have a piano. We've also got on the second floor of the Grand Floridian, we've got a space for the orchestra. Is this a bird cage here? This is like a two-story?
Yep.
Or is it a people cage, Jim? Misbehaving children, go here.
It's Farouk Assault. No.
It's Farouk Assault.
No, I mean, the early on when they were trying to do this in the authentic 20s style, again, your live orchestra at night. In fact, that's...
And they do have a live orchestra at night.
Yeah, it's just such a definitive sense of space. And then, you look here, you've got your caged elevator.
That's right, the elevator and the bird cage are both cages that on this, but one's a people cage.
There you go. And
it kind of makes sense thematically. The other thing I like too is that the stairwells are not, so there's one stairwell, but it's sort of off to the lobby. All the stairs are off the lobby. You can't actually see them.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting design thing. And the elevators too as well.
But at the same time, this is one of these hotels that because of the level of detail, because of the marble floors, there is so much upkeep, so much.
Have you ever been here at 2 o'clock in the morning?
No.
Oh, so you should walk around at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's nonstop activity. It's like they're painting a boat every night. I think they start at one end and work their way to the other. So we're coming up on this, the Grand Floridian Cafe. Mm-hmm. It's a nice space. And looking out, we'll walk out the back. Let's walk out the back real quick. And we'll come back in and do the rest of the main building. But Grand Floridian Cafe, lovely view. And it's got that sort of quintessential Key West, early Florida sort of view. You're sitting at a table, but all the tables have these views on these huge windows. These windows are like 2-foot squares, and they overlook. Well, you can see the other buildings in the background. One of the K buildings in the background, but it overlooks a fountain, and then you've got a huge pool in the distance. The Grand Floridian's pools are like the size of small atolls. They're huge, huge pools. Actually, one of the best photos we have for the Color Companion. I don't know if it made the cut or if it got cropped, but we've got this photo of one of the Grand Floridian pools, and it's from the edge of one side of the pool. And in the middle of the pool is this family of ducks, who apparently thought Bay Lake Tower, Seven Seas Lagoon, Grand Floridian pool, same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice. So we're walking up towards Narcoossee's, sort of towards the Magic Kingdom in a clockwise direction for the parks. Have you ever stayed here?
Oh, years and years ago.
Yeah. I have a love-hate relationship with this resort.
Why is that?
So I think the theming, the outside theming is lovely. I like the walks.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the, I think I like the pool size, and I like the fact that it's not very crowded late at night. Mm-hmm. The thing I can't wrap my head around, two things. One, the cost is incredible.
Yes, it
is. And then Disney bills it as its flagship resort, but and as a deluxe resort, but it doesn't compare to, let's say, the Waldorf as a deluxe resort, or the Ritz-Carlton as a deluxe resort. I don't think that anyone who stayed at those three resorts would put or those two resorts plus this one would put the Grand Floridian in that same category. Those are legitimate 4.5, 5-star hotels. This is a 4.
Well, but at the same time, it's just, this is one of these hotels where the proximity to the Magic Kingdom, coupled with the design, if it's not a 5-star, it looks like a 5-star.
On the outside, it looks like a, okay, legitimately looks like a 5-star on the outside, but again, it's not, when it comes down to amenities and stuff like that, it's got the spa. But they just think in terms of room quality and in terms of let's say concierge service, probably not the same as the Waldorf or the Ritz-Carlton.
And how many hotels have a yacht that you can rent? I mean, have you ever?
I've never actually been on the Grand. Let's go. So Jim mentions the yacht because we're actually walking by to the right between on the way to Narcissus, and we can actually see the Grand One. Yeah, could rent a yacht. How much is the yacht to rent, Jim?
Oh, I have heard, depending on you, if you want it for the day or the evening. I think for the evening, it starts at $1,500.
Really?
And then from there, it's like, oh, you want food?
you want a captain? I'll drive it myself. It's cool. Will you let me?
Add-on list gets very impressive very fast.
Okay, all right. So we're walking up towards the marina right now between buildings. We can see the Grand One. This is the Captain's Shipyard.
But, yes, I did a fireworks cruise on this once. Again, not on my dime. Got invited out to, you know, chat with
Thurston Howell III.
There we go. It turns out is in
Thurston Howell IV.
You know, but it was so bizarre. It's just...
Why?
You know, because, again, it's just this whole notion of, you know, you're out on the water and then you park. And you sit there with your champagne flute and... You then begin to
talk about the little people? Or actually, you probably don't talk about the little people because it doesn't occur to you to think about the little people.
I just... It was more the effect of... I suddenly flashed on, well, you can't get off. You know,
it's exactly.
Like, all right, we're going to be talking for 2 or 3 hours. And it's like...
You know, it was like the event at the Magic Kingdom the other day where you could come in, but you couldn't leave until they told you could leave. So a lovely view, actually, of the marina right from right here. This is we're outside Conkey. We've got the Grand One right in front of us. Monorail Green walking by. And then in the distance, we see the...
there we go.
The floats for the electrical water pageant.
And... You know, again, we are here just for, you know, the 40th anniversary. And the irony is that was literally slapped together as a...
It's a bunch of lights on floats, on barges.
And again, just, you know, I don't even want to say it was an afterthought. It was just, it was one of the things...
It was the thing that came after the afterthought.
Yeah, it was like
the afterthoughts were their good ideas.
You know. I mean, for the opening, we need to do something in water. We need, and just somebody came up with, okay, chicken wire on floats, yeah, and with a music score, and it was only supposed to be for the opening, but people
40 years later
loved it.
And the stuff that sticks is just amazing.
No, that's it exactly. Just the whole notion of, you know, just, you know, this is only going to be here for, you know, welcome to Mickey's Starland.
Yes, exactly.
You know.
Hey, that lasted 20 years, man.
You know, in fact, it was funny, last night I'm in the hotel watching the Spanish channel for Disney, and it's like, oh, hey, the Spanish people can still go to Mickey's Starland.
That's right, they haven't changed that. The,
you know, it's like,
that's weird. You know. How do you say I'm sorry in Spanish? Sorry, this doesn't exist anymore. So the other interesting thing I think about this, so we're looking out at the over the marina, and there's this little inlet where the water pageant barges sit. Is that the only reason there's not a walkway from here from the Grand Floridian to the Magic Kingdom? Because you could, I mean, look, you could walk to the Magic Kingdom from here. I mean, it's a little bit of a hike, but it's certainly not much farther than what we just did from the Polynesian to the Grand Floridian. Why isn't there a walkway? And the other thing too is, you know, Jim, you notice there's lights over there by where the monorail just passed?
Yes.
There's a walkway that goes from the Magic Kingdom literally to the very end of the land by the inlet where the electrical water pageant barges are stored. All they have to do is pave the other half between that and the Grand Floridian and put a bridge in, and they'd have a thing. Why don't they have a walkway there?
Well, you know, do you remember the commemorative pavement stones?
Yes, I remember that. So we walked over a bunch of them, actually, on the way
yes.
here.
If they had sold better...
There would be a walkway?
I mean, literally, it was supposed... Remember, it was the walk around the world. It was, you know, that was the plan. And they did... There was a plan, or at least there were designs drawn up for, you know.
Would we like a tour of the Grand One? I would love a tour of the Grand One. May we have a tour of the Grand One? This is fabulous. This is total luck.
A smile a person?
A smile?
Or two smiles.
How about a hug? How about a hug?
A smile per person.
Okay.
Very happy.
I am extremely happy about this.
Okay.
Wow, come aboard. We're expecting you. The love boat. This is totally unscheduled, but we're getting a tour of the Grand One. This is amazing. So we're walking down. This is Captain Gregory. think you're... Just Greg. Oh, it's informal here. We are actually staying at the Grand Floridian tonight, so this is totally could possibly be legit. Wow, this is... We're on the dock right now. We're walking onto the boat. Wow, this is incredible. Laurel talked us into this. This is great. Thank you so much.
Michigan aboard, Captain. Pirates got him.
So we're on the Grand Oneness. So we're walking in. This is a very plush room. And, ooh, leather seats.
This is a Sea Ray, right? Or is it custom?
It's base custom.
Wow, this is nice.
Here's the sink.
So there's a sink for drinks. I guess we're going to do drinks.
This is the sink for washing your dishes.
Okay, so
this is where someone else washes my dishes.
This is the stove.
There's a stove in here. So we're
your living room.
Let me see if I can describe this. We've got seats for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people, all leather. It's air conditioned. We've got a small TV. We've got a little console there. We've got a small kitchenette. We've got a table for dining with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 more seats. It actually goes down. There's more.
Well, the bedrooms are down here.
There's bedrooms in this thing, dude. I'm so renting this. Oh my God, this is amazing.
One bedroom.
There's more than one bedroom here?
Here's two bedrooms.
Oh my God, look at this. Oh, so there's, okay, so we're in the Grand One. There's a small bedroom here.
This
it's
the first this, head.
This is a full bed, I think. But it's got lighting. Oh my God, this is amazing. It's got a closet. This is like a Japanese hotel room, though. This is wonderfully small. Oh, it's got a little skylight. And then there's another bedroom with... Oh, there's a bathroom, too. Oh, this is like the world's smallest shower. Dude, you've got to make up your mind before you get in this thing. What you're doing. This is... Wow, this is nice. That's a small... It's kind of got to sit down in the shower. So we're in the shower. It's like an airplane shower times maybe... Sorry, an airplane bathroom times two. And then this is a door. Ah, door to the other thing. To the first bedroom. And then the other bedroom is bunk beds for small kids. And that's got a little bit of storage space, too.
And that's not even the good bedroom.
That's not even the good bedroom. So we're coming up on the...
This is the master bedroom.
It's the master bedroom. And wow.
This is the main head.
This is the master bathroom. Oh, this is actually... Ooh. Wow, this is good. So it's got a walk-in shower. I won't walk in it because I don't know if my feet are dirty. But wow, this is nice. It's got essentially the size of like 2 or 3, maybe the size of 3 airplane bathrooms. But it's got a full shower with a seat. It's got a small sink. It's got a medicine cabinet. It's got, a place to hold on to, rails. It's got a small head. But then the master bedroom is really amazing. Thank you. It's got an elevated bed. It's about hip high, so about 3 feet off the ground. It's a queen? Full-size bed. It's got a TV console. It's got windows on either side with shades. It's got a skylight. Thank you.
You can actually go out through there.
It's an escape hatch.
It's an escape hatch. That's awesome. So this could be if I needed an evil lair, this mm-hmm. could be the escape hatch. Mm-hmm. Wow, this is really nice. This is incredible. And this is storage. Closet space. Nice. Yep. So, could you spend the night on this if you wanted to?
You could live on here if you'd like.
But
I mean, you could rent it for the night? Like an entire day?
You can, but, I mean, it worked this morning. Let's see if it'll work. Yeah, it's working.
There's another... Oh, so he's pressed a secret button, and... Oh! And the stairs are raising up, and...
Washer-dryer.
There's a washer-dryer under the stairs in the boat. This is amazing. That is the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. I think we lost Jim. Jim is stowing away, apparently.
I'm actually up here. They have a guest book.
Wow. Oh,
is that for vacuum?
Yep.
Is central vac?
Central vac.
Of course, because every boat needs a central vacuum system.
So what do you rent the Grand One for? You rent the Grand One for...
$520 an hour.
$520 an hour. So 24 hours would be $12,000 a day.
Pretty much.
These are bulk rate.
You wouldn't be able... I don't know if you could 24 hours because... It's a crew of two.
Two, okay.
So they would have to alternate two crews.
Okay. Could you rent it from like 8 p.m. to 8 a.m.?
Probably could, yep.
Very cool. But according to this, you can rent it, you know, for example, somebody took their for 25th birthday. We have somebody who was in...
25th?
25th birthday.
Oh, kids.
Right? My wonderful husband rented for my 25th birthday.
Kids, I love them.
We have somebody who rented it so they could ask. It was Ethan asked Erica to marry him on
proposals.
Oh, proposals. 11. That's a great idea.
We have a couple that took their parents out for their 50th anniversary.
Oh, that'd be so nice.
But again, it's the sort of thing you do for, you know, something hugely significant.
So where does the crew stay while you're living it up in here? Up above?
Second floor.
There's another floor?
Yeah. That's where you drive it from.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, there's no wheel here. Yeah.
And that's the wet lights. Bar's up there also.
There's a wet bar. Of course there's a wet bar. How did I not know that? So 5:20 an hour. 8 p.m. to 8 a.m.
It comes with two
crew?
Two captains, basically.
Two captains. Mm-hmm. Good. In case the first captain can't fulfill his duties.
I don't think he'd be able to get as many people in this as La Cama.
It's like autopilot.
We did an event yesterday where we rented out La Hacienda at Epcot for 300 people, and which was a great event. It was a lot of fun. It was like signing for a house though at the end, but this is just a whole other level of awesome.
Very cool. Well, thank you.
This is great. Thank you so much for this. Coming up. Wow, so that was unexpected. That was fabulous. Oh, that's where the crew stays. So wait, so just to tell you the difference between crew and guest, the guests have this lovely thing. The crew essentially have this plastic enclosed thing. Well, at least you have a padded seat up there, so that's not bad.
The guests can also go up there. Some guests go up there also to watch, because they do the fireworks.
Oh, fireworks cruises, yeah.
So they some of the guests will go up there and watch it too.
That's
so
fantastic.
Not too many. Most of them. Cause this,
yeah, it's down there.
18.
18?
18 people.
It's amazing. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, that'd be great. Does anybody get seasick on this? Does it rock a lot, or is it because you're on an enclosed bay? It's not bad.
I don't think anything on these lakes would make this thing rock.
Okay, yeah, it looks like it's a pretty substantial craft.
Well, thank you, Gregory.
Thank you, Gregory. This is wonderful. Thank you. Wow, that was awesome. I've never seen anything like that before. That's incredible.
I don't think we could top that.
I don't think we could top that. That was great. So let's walk back to the grand floor and we'll talk a little bit about it, and just to wrap up this series. That was incredible. So anything? So Grand Floridian DVC. When is the DVC coming online? Do you know?
Oh, if all goes according to plan, and remember that they're going to have to build out into Seven Seas Lagoon. There's going to be construction footings out there for your parking lot entrance thing. We are talking 2013.
Oh, it's a couple of years yet.
Yeah. So
it's going to have lovely views. But what is the view of the DVC going to be? The Poly or the Contemporary? What's the view?
Interesting question, because there's actually an island that's going to obscure a certain part of this, and part of the plan is, can we do some selective cutting there?
On the island?
Yeah.
Oh.
And, you know, that gets interesting, you know, because it's just sort of like...
If we start talking about demolishing an island? Yeah.
Yeah, and just to
improve Ooh, I can see like a one-time Krakatoa type event. Where they sell the hell out of it? It would fit in with the Polynesian theme.
There we go.
Oh, we need some sort of virgin sacrifice. We got the Krakatoa thing going on. Like,
right, bring me a Disney princess. I'll do the rest.
Completely fits in. Oh, that's great. All right, well, Jim, what do you say we head over to Epcot and see what's going on over there?
Yeah, sure,
man. Fabulous. Thank you guys for listening to the show. We're heading over to Epcot next, so that'll be another episode. This is Len Testa and Jim Hale signing off.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.